This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all those who follow his way with righteousness until the end of time. Today inshallah I just want to share a few hadiths and Quranic verses and a few stories related to a very important part of our aqidah, our belief, and that is the concept of hope in Allah's mercy. Right. Hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is a fundamental part of the Islamic belief system, to such an extent that it is mentioned in Surah Yusuf that the Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam told his sons that none despair of Allah's mercy except for disbelievers. Meaning, to give up on Allah's mercy is disbelief, it's an act of kufr. To lose hope completely in Allah's mercy is kufr. Why? Because Allah is Ar-Rahman, He is infinitely merciful. So if someone gives up on Allah's mercy, they are negating their belief in Allah being Ar-Rahman. They are negating their belief in Allah being the most merciful. So this concept of hope in Allah's mercy, it's a very important part of our aqidah. And it forms part of a balance. This balance is between hope in Allah's mercy and fear of Allah's punishment. And both of these are two parts of loving Allah. Right? These are two parts of loving Allah, which is the main thing. This is what we are supposed to strive for as believers. We are supposed to love Allah. And both our hope in His mercy and our fear of His punishment are supposed to come from this love. So, the scholars of the past, they described our iman, our faith, through the metaphor of a bird. Right? They gave the metaphor of a bird. And they said, for example, that the bird, the head of the bird is love of Allah. And its two wings are hope and mercy, hope and fear. What does this mean? It means, just like a bird needs two wings to fly, you need hope in Allah's mercy and fear of Allah's punishment to be balanced in your iman. If you only have hope in His mercy and no fear at all, you will commit sin after sin after sin, just saying to yourself, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Right? So you go off balance. On the other hand, if you only have fear and no hope, you end up committing sin after sin after sin, saying, what's the point? Allah is never going to forgive me. You see, if one of the two is missing, you fall into sin. But for opposite reasons. Balance only comes about when you have both fear and hope. Fear before committing a sin, hope after committing a sin. This is the balance. Right? That the fear of Allah stops you from sin. But when you do fall into a sin, the hope of Allah brings you back up. So that creates balance. But in the same metaphor, the scholar says that the head of the bird is love of Allah. Meaning what? If you cut off the head, the bird dies. Likewise, if you don't love Allah, your iman dies. So love of Allah is most important. And there's hope and fear, it comes from love. Now some people ask, well, how does fear come from love? Well, understand there's different types of fear. Right? The fear you have of a lion or a snake is very different from the fear you have of, for example, as a child has for their father. The fear a child has for their father often is a fear that comes from love. They love their father, they don't want to disappoint their father, and so they fear doing things that upset their father. This is the kind of fear we are supposed to have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we love Allah so much that we are afraid of disappointing Allah by sinning. And this is what stops us from sinning. It's not a fear in a primal sense like the fear of lions. It's a fear in a loving sense. That I love Allah so much that I do not want to sin. I do not want to disappoint Him. Now, we have, alhamdulillah, you know, in our community, a lot of lectures on the topic of fear of Allah. Right? This is something that's been drilled into us. Right? We have a lot of lectures about Jahannam, about fear of Allah, about all of this, which is important. But as I said, for balance sake, we also have to talk about hope. Hope in Allah's mercy. And that's what we're talking about today. So, the purpose of this talk today is to balance the scales. I don't want us to come out from this talk thinking only hope in Allah. Rather, balance between fear and hope. So, why do we have to have hope in Allah's mercy? Why is this an important part of our iman? The main reason that this is an important part of our aqidah is because as human beings we are destined to commit sins. Sinning is in the destiny of every human being besides the prophets. Right, this is something that cannot be avoided. Right, this cannot be avoided. No one here can say, besides, unless you are a child. Okay, the children, mashallah, they're still below the age where sins are recorded against them. Nobody else here can say that in my entire life I've never committed a single sin. Right? If someone says that, then mashallah, they're on a whole other level and they should be up here talking. I'll be sitting down there listening. Right? Because I want to know how to get there. The fact is, the Prophet ﷺ stated, "Kullu bani Adam khata." Every son of Adam will make mistakes. Right, this is a hadith. Every son of Adam will make mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ دَعِيفًا. Mankind was created weak. Mankind was created weak. One of the tabi'een, when explaining this verse of the Quran, what was his explanation? This is one of the second generation of Muslims. What is his explanation of the verse, mankind was created weak? He said, this verse means that when a beautiful woman walks past, 90% of men fail to lower their gaze. That's what this verse means. You're weak. Right? It's natural that sometimes you're going to fall into sin. And if our religion only emphasized fear of Allah, everybody would lose hope. Because reality is, as you go through life, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fall down. You're going to slip up. The way back to Allah is through tawbah and repentance. Now sometimes we're given a wrong understanding of Islam. Sometimes we're given this idea that, you know, if you committed a sin, now you're not a Muslim anymore, or you're a bad person, or Allah doesn't love you, or Allah is not going to forgive you. This is not the message of Islam. This is not the message of Islam. This is not how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with the Sahaba. Whenever it reached the Prophet ﷺ that a Sahabi had committed a sin, or if it reached Abu Bakr or Umar alayhi sahabi had committed a sin, what would be their response? Their response would be something like this. Right? Many, many different hadiths, almost all of them are the same response. Don't tell me about your sins, just ask Allah to forgive you. Very straightforward, very casual response, right? For example, once there was a sahabi who was selling dates in the marketplace, and a very beautiful woman came to his store, and one thing led to another, and he kissed her. And so he felt very bad about kissing her, and he went to Umar to ask for advice, and Umar's advice was, don't tell me about your sins, just ask Allah to forgive you. Right? So you notice the difference between their reaction and our reaction today. Now nowadays, if a young man had to walk up to the sheikh and say, you know, this happened, you know, he's either going to get a tongue lashing or a slap in the face, which is not the sunnah. Neither of which is the sunnah. The sunnah is, give them advice that is in line with hope in Allah's mercy. Advice that will bring them back to Allah. That is how Abu Bakr and Umar and the Prophet ﷺ dealt with this situation. And we'll come back to the story later, because there's another lesson in it that we'll come to later in this discussion. So, let's start off with a verse from the Quran, where this is called by many of the Mufassirin the verse of hope. The verse of hope. In Surah Zumar, verse 53, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. O my servants, Allah says, say, O my servants, who have sinned against their own souls, never lose hope in Allah's mercy, because Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He is most forgiving, most merciful. This is a very important verse of the Quran. You know, very often young people walk up to me and they say, you know, I've done this, I've done that, can Allah ever forgive me? And every single time, this is the verse you have to tell them. Allah forgives all sins. On what condition? That you regret it, that you regard what you did as a sin and you are asking Allah for forgiveness. Not if you're proud about it, boasting about it, putting pictures about it on Facebook, telling all your friends about it, then you can't expect forgiveness for that. Right? The forgiveness comes from regret. Right? Now before I go deeper into this topic, I need to make a clarification here. One of the problems we have in English is that we talk about sin or haram as if it's all the same. And this is a major problem we have in the English language. That we always say this is haram, that is haram, and we treat it all as if it's on the same level. But in reality, there's different levels of haram. Okay, is this clear? There's different levels of haram. For example, for... Sometimes we don't want to give the examples because people may take it the wrong way. But I have to give examples for people to understand. For example, if somebody lied about why they were late for work, it's not the same level of sin as somebody lying about Islam. You understand? They are both sins, but they're not on the same level. A woman who doesn't cover her hair is committing a minor sin. It's not on the same level as a woman who doesn't cover certain other parts of her body. You understand? There's different levels. It's not all the same. And this is mentioned in the books of Tafsir. But in English language, we get lost on this. In English language, we treat all of this the same. This is why we sometimes find people jumping on each other's backs for things like, for example, you see a brother whose pants is below his ankles. You know, some of us are fighting with him about it. Not realizing that, number one, there's difference of opinion. And number two, even those mazhabs that regard it as a sin, regard it amongst the most minor of sins. Meaning not a big deal, not something you fight with someone over. But again, because we just use the word haram, we don't realize that there's different levels. Now, why do I bring this up? Because depending on the level of haram that you have done, there are different ways to come back to Allah. For example, a very, very minor sin. Any good deed that you do, wipes it out. Understand? Any good deed that you do, wipes out your minor sins. For example, if a brother is walking down the street, and he mistakenly looked at a woman, and then he realized and he said, Astaghfirullah, that Astaghfirullah is enough to wipe away that sin. That good deed is enough to wipe away that sin. Right? But, slightly higher than that, you need to make serious istighfar. So, you were sitting and looking at things you weren't supposed to look at for a long period of time, and this happens to many brothers, then to sit and say, Astaghfirullah, 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 until it hits your heart that what you did is wrong, this is needed in those situations. Even higher than that are the major sins, the kabair. Right? And many of us aren't even aware what the major sins are. We treat all sins like they're major. But the major sins are on an even higher level. The major sins you have to make tawbah from. Now what does tawbah mean? Tawbah is a step-by-step process. You have to regret it. You have to ask Allah for forgiveness. You have to promise never to do it again. You have to make an effort never to do it again. Right? This is a much stronger level. Now what would be a kabair? A kabair, for example, would be actual zina, the actual act of zina. Right? Abdullah ibn Abbas said anything that leads up to zina is a minor sin and only the actual act is the major sin. Right? So that's when you have to actually make tawbah. Another example of a major sin is murder. Right? So I hope none of us fall into that one. I'll be very scared to be speaking here. But murder is a major sin. Another example of a major sin would be robbery, stealing things. Right? These are the major sins. Generally, the major sins are the ones that are explicitly mentioned by name in the Quran and for which there is a clear punishment for. These are the major sins. They're specifically mentioned in the Quran by name and there is a punishment for them. Like murder, there's a punishment for murder. Stealing, there's a punishment for stealing. Right? For zina, there's a punishment for zina. Anything less than that is a minor sin. So understand that if what you have fallen into is a minor sin, you make istighfar. If what you've fallen into is a major sin, you make tawbah. Right? And that brings me back to the story I mentioned earlier. That Sahabi who kissed the girl, when he went to the Prophet ﷺ for advice, what did the Prophet ﷺ advise him to do? To pray 2 rakats of salah. He didn't tell him to make tawbah, he told him to pray 2 rakats of salah. Right? And on that occasion, a verse of the Quran was revealed. That verse of the Quran is, follow up your sins with good deeds, because good deeds erase sins. And another one of the Sahaba asked the Prophet, is this verse of the Quran only for him? And the Prophet said, no, it's for every Muslim until the end of time. Meaning when you fall into a minor sin, immediately do a good deed to make up for it. But if you fall into a major sin, then you have to make tawbah. Right? So minor sins are the sins that people tend to fall into on a daily basis. And to some extent, you know, first let me make this clear. It is impossible to go your entire life without committing a minor sin. Some of us, we put too high a standard on ourselves, our children. Right? We expect, you know, I've seen this this happen quite a few times to converts. One of my students, after converting to Islam, you know, he put this on him that he's never going to commit a single minor sin for the rest of his life. And then when he first fell into minor sin after that, he was devastated. And he felt he can't be a Muslim because he's committing sins. Right? This is Shaitan's tricks. This is one of Shaitan's tricks. To get you out of the fold of Islam, to make you lose hope in Allah's mercy, he makes you aim for perfection. to such an extent that you just give up. So what happens to many young people, it happens to a lot of young people when they start practicing Islam. They say, I'm going to be a good Muslim from today onwards, I'm never sinning again for the rest of my life. 2 days later, they fall into a minor sins, they say, I'm a terrible person, I'm a hypocrite, might as well just give up. This is what Shaitan wanted you to do, he wanted you to give up. Understand that on your path to Allah, on your path to piety, on your path to becoming a better Muslim, you are going to slip and stumble many times. You're going to fall into minor sins many times. Maybe once or twice in your life, you might even fall into a major sin. May Allah protect us from that. But whatever it is you fall into, there's always a way back to Allah. Shaitan doesn't want you to fall into that sin. He wants you to lose hope in Allah. That's his goal. He wants you to leave the religion. He wants you to give up. The sin itself may actually work against Shaitan if you repented from it. It may become a good deed if you repented from it. So that's not Shaitan's goal. Shaitan's goal is to use it step by step to take you away from Allah. So understand, on your spiritual journey, you will make mistakes. You will fall into sin. You will slip up. Sometimes they'll be minor, sometimes they'll be major. The point is never to give up hope in Allah's mercy. And to keep trying again. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said that nobody enters Jannah because of their deeds. You only enter because of Allah's mercy. Nobody enters Jannah because of their deeds, you only enter because of Allah's mercy. Meaning what? None of us can say that we are so good and so sinless and so pious that we deserve Jannah. Rather, each and every one of us know what skeletons we have in our closets. Each and every one of us know what sins we have committed. And we all rely on only one thing for getting to Jannah. What's that? Allah's mercy. Allah's forgiveness. How do you earn that forgiveness? By keep trying. Keep trying to be better. No matter how much you fall into sin, keep trying to be better. Understand, even amongst the Sahaba, they were alcohol addicts. Even amongst the Sahaba, they were alcohol addicts. There was one Sahabi, and unfortunately I forgot his name right now, one of the Sahaba who was addicted to alcohol. And he kept getting lashed for drinking alcohol. On one occasion, the other Sahaba got very upset with him. And they began to verbally abuse him while punishing him for drinking alcohol. And the Prophet ﷺ got very angry with him and said, stop it, don't do that. Because he loves Allah and his messenger. Who is the Prophet ﷺ speaking about? Who is he defending? He's defending an alcoholic against a senior Sahaba. Why? Because this alcoholic loved Allah and his messenger ﷺ. He was a Sahabi too. But he had a problem. But he kept trying. And inshallah, that love of Allah and his messenger would be enough for Allah to forgive him for his addiction. You know, so the point is, no matter what mistakes we have, what sins we have, what addictions we have, there's always a way back to Allah. The point is to keep trying. I want to mention another hadith on this topic. And this is a hadith Qudsi. This is a narration directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll find it in the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi and in Sunan At-Tirmidhi. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said, what did Allah say? O son of Adam, as long as you call on me and ask of me, I will forgive you for whatever you have done, and I don't mind. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky and you had to ask me for forgiveness, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with sins greater than the size of the earth, and you were to face me, having worshipped none but Allah, having ascribed no partners to me, I would bring you more forgiveness than that. How can anybody lose hope in Allah's mercy when Allah has said this? What did Allah say? He said, if your sins are equal to the earth or more, but you believe in La ilaha illallah, you avoid the shirk, then there's still a chance that Allah is going to forgive you. Because of how great that one good deed, La ilaha illallah, is. Allah says, even if your sins reach the cloud, but if you repent from them, Allah will forgive you. Now Allah didn't just say He will forgive you, He said, I won't mind. I don't mind forgiving you. It's not something that Allah minds doing. He is Al-Ghafoor, the most forgiving. So He created creatures that sin, so He had someone to forgive. He is At-Tawwab, the acceptor of repentance. So he created creatures that commit major sins and repent, so He has someone who He can accept repentance from. The Prophet ﷺ stated that if y'all did not commit any sins, Allah would replace you with the creation that committed sins and repented, so that He will have someone to forgive. So understand, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that whatever sins you've fallen into in life, Allah can still forgive you. And you should never lose hope. You should never stop doing good deeds because of a sin. And I've heard people, you know, for example, you get sometimes young people stop coming to the masjid, stop praying salah. And you ask them why, they say, you know, I committed a sin. You should have prayed more salah. If you committed a sin, you need to pray more salah to make up for your sin. Don't let shaitan win by giving up your salah. Because on the day of judgment, if your salah is in order, Allah will forgive you for everything else, inshallah. If Allah wills, if your 5 daily salah in order, He can forgive you for everything else. I want to end this in this last few minutes to talk about specific ways that Allah has created for our sins to be forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy. I want you to think about how vast Allah's mercy is. First, look at this. When you do a sin, Allah writes one sin in your book of deeds. When you do a good deed, Allah writes 10 to 700 good deeds in your book of deeds, depending on the quality of the deed. So, if you had to, in a span of 2 minutes, commit one sin and one good deed, you will get the reward of 10 good deeds and the sin of one sin. So how much sins we have to commit for them to outweigh our good deeds on the day of judgment? This is part one of Allah's mercy. Right? Let's look at part two of Allah's mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so many good deeds that wipe away sins. When you make wudu, sins are wiped away. When you pray salah, sins are wiped away. When you fast, sins are wiped away. When you pray tarawih, sins are wiped away. When you give zakah, sins are wiped away. When you go for umrah, sins are wiped away. When you go for hajj and it's accepted, your major sins are wiped away. So at the end of the day, what excuse do we have to have a large pile of sins on the day of judgment when Allah has created so many ways to wipe them off? Even if you committed 20 sins between fajr and zuhr, if that zuhr is of high quality, it can wipe away those sins. He can wipe away those sins. This is how Allah has made this religion. That He wants to forgive us so much that He has created so many different good deeds that wipe away sins. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has divided His mercy into 100 portions. And whatever mercy you see on this earth is just 1% of Allah's mercy. And He has saved the remaining 99% for the Day of Judgment. 99% of Allah's infinite mercy has been saved for the Day of Judgment. If that doesn't give us hope, I don't know what will. So there's a few hadiths about good deeds that erase sins. The Prophet ﷺ said, the example of the 5 daily salah is like a flowing river. If you had to wash himself in that river 5 times a day, right? So imagine this, there's a river flowing past your house and you bathe in it 5 times a day. Will any dirt be left? No. Likewise, praying 5 times a day wipes away your sins in the same way, in the exact same way. This is why when someone says they've committed a sin, tell him more than ever you have to commit to your 5 daily salah. Why? Because the 5 daily salah wash away your sins the way a river washes away filth. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, no servant prostrates for the sake of Allah except that Allah will record for him one good deed, erase one sin, and elevate his status by 1 degree. So prostrate to Allah many, many times. Meaning when you make sajda, you get a good deed, you get a sin erased, and you get your status closer to Allah. You get elevated in your status closer to Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ advised us to make a lot of sajda. And of course, making a lot of sajda means praying a lot of salah. Number 3, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever makes wudu the way I do, and then prays 2 rakats after it without allowing his thoughts to be distracted, his previous sins will be forgiven. Right? This is in Bukhari and Muslim. To pray 2 rakats of salah after making wudu with concentration wipes away sins. The next hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, from one umrah to the next, wipes away any sins in between. And there is no reward for an accepted hajj lesser than Jannah, besides Jannah. Meaning, you know, sometimes in our community, some of us pick on the other people who go for umrah very often. You know, we say, that guy is wasting so much money going for umrah every year, he should rather somebody else go. But the Prophet ﷺ said, from one umrah to another is a forgiveness for any sins done in between. So if you have the money to go for umrah, and you know you have a lot of sins, it makes sense to perform as many umrahs as possible. Because every umrah becomes a means of forgiveness for the sins before it. This hadith is an encouragement to perform umrah as many times as possible. And for hajj, what's the reward for hajj in this hadith? Not just forgiveness, jannah. If your hajj is accepted, jannah, guaranteed. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, accepting Islam wipes away all of the sins that were committed before it. Migration for the sake of Allah wipes away any sins that came before it. And hajj wipes away whatever came before it. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned three things. Firstly, when someone converts to Islam, whatever they did before that is forgiven. This is very important. Because sometimes some of us judge the converts. We say, this guy he has tattoos and he did this and he did that. You know, he can't be a real Muslim. No, you're not allowed to say that. The day he took his shahada, whatever was done before that is forgiven. He has a clean slate. The second thing, migrating for the sake of Allah. So if you are in a community where you cannot practice Islam properly, and you move for the sake of Allah to a part of the world where you can practice Islam properly, then that wipes away the sins you committed before that. Number three, hajj. Hajj wipes away your sins, including your major sins. And finally, the last hadith, and this one is relevant because it's coming up in 5 weeks' time. The Prophet ﷺ stated that Ramadan is a month in which Allah has made fasting obligatory. Right? And I have made praying the nights of Ramadan recommended. So whoever fasts the days of Ramadan with faith and hoping for Allah's mercy, their sins will be forgiven. And whoever prays the nights of Ramadan with faith and hoping for Allah's mercy, their sins will be forgiven. And whoever prays the night of Laylatul Qadr with faith and hoping for Allah's mercy, their sins will be forgiven. After all of these hadiths, how can any of us say that Allah will never forgive me? So I end again by reminding us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran, O my servants who have sinned against their own selves, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never lose hope in Allah's mercy. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah forgives all sins. And the Prophet ﷺ explaining said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith of Qudsi said, even if your sins reach the skies and you ask for forgiveness, He will still forgive you and He won't mind. إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, He is forgiving and merciful, most forgiving, most merciful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our sins, accept our good deeds, and enter us into Jannah through His mercy. جزاك الله خيرا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب